at last. My love has come along, and my lonely days are over, and life is like a song. At last, the sky's above the blue, and my heart was wrapped up in clover. Tonight I looked at you, I found a dream that I could speak to. I dreamed that I can call my own. I found a dream to press my cheek to. I feel that I have never known. Yeah. When you smile, oh, and then the spell was cast, and here we are in heaven. Oh, you are mine. At last, ooh, at last,
all the way from Geelong, singer and stand-up comedian, hairdresser by profession, and a proud transgender, Lexi Love. Magandang araw sa iyo, Lexi Love.
Magandang araw. Good day. My name is Lexi Love.
How are you, Lexi?
I'm good, thank you.
Ayan, kumusta ang bagong taon ni Lexi?
Mabuti. It was so beautiful because I'm just spending time with family.
Kailan ba nagsimula yung paghihilig mo sa pagkanta at pag-perform?
Okay. Singing, I'm Filipino first. Mm-hmm. So singing is always in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
My parents actually forced me to sing.
They forced you?
Kind of forced me. The very first song I sang was The Carpenters, Top of the World. That was in the Philippines, in Quezon City. I was in kinder. So I started singing when I was 3.
Sa video kay ba to?
No, this is in school programs.
Okay.
Yeah. And then from then, you know, choirs, church. And then when we moved to Australia, my dad signed me up for church choir, mm-hmm, without my knowledge. So I was kind of forced into that, but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God and I thank my parents for pushing me to, you know, to push my boundaries and my limits in singing and performing, because I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy seeing people smile and, you know, come up to me and say they enjoyed my performance and they remembered something in their mind about a moment in their life. Yeah.
So your mom and dad forced you to sing and at the same time supported you with
exactly,
this passion,
yes,
of yours.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
From singing, you've moved on to performing as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because when we moved to Australia, there's not much, the gay community and the trans community. So there was only a few of us. And there was a karaoke bar in Footscray. This was the main Filipino go-to in Victoria. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes there. Everyone from far away would go there. And I was drunk one night. And I was singing on stage. And then Geisha, Miss Geisha, introduced me to Liz Honey. And Liz Honey is one of the biggest producers in Victoria when it comes to Filipinos. And she's amazing. And she, it started from there. And I had my first gig. It was $300 talent fee for Anton Diva, Kim Idol. These are people that I just imagine of performing with. And then from then on, you know, from a one night of drinking to, it started with that.
That's how you were discovered.
Kumbaga. Yeah, yeah.
So dito mo na na-discovere na pwede ka pala on stage. Were you also doing it sideline?
I was doing it in the Philippines, but as a group. I wasn't as confident about myself. But Australia brought up my self-expression. Uh-huh. And I've learned to fully accept myself and embrace myself in Australia. Because people here are so accepting, supporting, and they have, you know, extensive knowledge about cultures. Mm-hmm. And it helped me shine on to who I am.
Did you have more freedom as compared to in the Philippines, being yourself?
I guess freedom comes from within. Mm-hmm. But over here, there was no limitation of what we can do. So my mind was, free. And I just had a good time. And yeah, that was it. Like I just learned that in Australia I can create myself. Because back in the Philippines, culture and tradition and religion kind of limits me. That you have to be this, you have to be that. In Australia, you know, I remember my dad told me, we're going to come to Australia as a, you know, a responsible citizen, not a liability. Mm. And it's a liberated country. But as long as we're in the right, you know, we'll be in the right path.
So, see, mom and dad, more they're very open-minded.
They are very open-minded, yeah. And thank God for that. I mean, it took a while. I mean, my teenage years, I was suicidal. And you're being asked if you're a boy or a girl. Mm-hmm. At an age of 3, it's quite difficult. When you're that young, you don't have any knowledge of if you're a boy or a girl. You just want to be whatever you want to be.
When did you realize, Lexi, that you wanted to be a girl?
I didn't want to be a girl. I just thought I could be whatever I want to be. Mm. And I mean, come on, girls have more fun stuff. Mm. You know that Barbie girl, you know, Barbies, and it's more interesting for me. But I also love boy stuff. But I guess I'm more feminine side, into the feminine side, because I just enjoy creating.
Was that like when you were young? How old were you that
young,
time?
Young, yeah. Probably around, I was really sure when I was I was 18.
You were 18 that time. Before turning 18 years old, you were straightforward.
I know. I've always loved girl stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then your parents knew about these things.
I didn't know, but I was kind of keep it low-key. Like, you know, uh-huh. you go to school like very, very straight, but then you go after, when you go to the behind those gates of school, you become more girly and, you know, you let loose. You let your hair down.
When did you tell them?
There was no official coming out, but my dad, you know, we're going to Australia, and he had the talk with me and say, you know, I love you. If it's God's will, it's God's will. And he just said, as long as, you know, you do what's right, then, you know, do what's right for people and everything will be okay.
Respect people, love people.
Yeah. There was no coming out or such. But when I was never a an achiever when I was young. From, say, 1 to 18, my dad always asked me, when are you going to come up to stage? But when in Australia, when I've, you know, reached my career in hairdressing, I've started winning awards and achieving, you know, national awards. That's when, oh my God, I should be proud of myself.
Australia brought out the best in you.
Yes, exactly, yes. And in our family as well.
Yep. Coming from the Philippines, kultura natin, at the same time, yung ating paniniwala. Mm-mm. Pag transgender, hindi po masyadong accepting sila.
I am. Mahirap. Oh. Mahirap. Especially when you're little and you're being told that you're going to end up alone. All these kind of cloudy judgments and... It wasn't easy for me to free myself from that. And I can feel my fellow sisters and my, you know, it's quite hard for them. And it was a long journey for me. Mm. I mean, until now, it is still a, you know, constant battle in embracing oneself.
Here in Australia, how about the Filipino community here? Are they accepting?
It is accepting, But you can see that there is limits in their mind that what you can do and what you can't do. So, but I love surprising them, you know. You just tell them this and that. And as long as you've let go of that doubt from other people, you're fine.
I'm also interested to know about your hairdressing. Yes, you studied hairdressing here in Australia and you're doing it right now as a profession.
Yeah, yeah. My hairdressing career started after year 12. And I came from a family where my dad's family are all medical background. Mm. So when I said I wanted to do hairdressing, they're quite disappointed. Oh, why hairdressing? But I guess hairdressing for me is a spiritual healing. It's quite cathartic in some ways because I get to free women from their self-dysphoria because it's about image. You know, a lot of Filipino women, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not like that. Oh, you know, I can't wear that because this and that. You know, it's very limiting for your mind, actually, if you actually keep saying to yourself that. Once you have let go of that fear, and then you have fully embraced yourself, you know your style, you know your hair. Because hairdressing helped me find who I am. Mm. Yeah, and it took me 5 years because no one would employ me. I can tell you which salons have rejected me.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, I aim bigger, so I've applied for bigger salons. And because my Filipino accent was very strong.
That time.
So I always keep hearing, oh, I beg your pardon, oh, what's your name? And, oh, okay, thank you, never mind, we'll call you back. Yeah. You know, that's when I understood what we'll call you back means. Mm. That means, oh, God, they don't like me. And it took me 5 years, really. And then I had nothing on my resume because there was no experience. And I dated this guy, Australian guy, that works for Telstra call center. And I said, Dean, can you help me? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he put me into technical support, which I had no idea about because I love makeup and hair. So
is it a call center?
It's a call center, yeah. That's how I learned how to speak the Australian accent. I used to practice every day in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And I used to search on YouTube the Australian slangs. I said, if I want to do this, if I want to make it big, I have to train myself. Mm-hmm. If I want people to hear, to listen to my stories, I have to actually adapt to the culture. I have to train myself to be able to be heard, to be able to speak. So every day I practice. And from the first year of applying hairdressing, you know, people were like, oh, you're a great hairdresser, but I don't think you fit in.
Is it because of your color?
It's because of, look, it's race, gender, and then, I mean, you go in the way of your interview and then someone will say, oh, that's a tranny, or that's a, you know, that's a man, that's a dude. And that kills your confidence because it's not you. You know it's not you. But it took me a while to understand that you actually just have to be yourself. You just have to be great. And regardless of whatever people think about you, if you're great at what you do, you'll be, you know, people will love you. You know, you just have to see common ground. And in hairdressing, it took me 5 years. And that's what I tell my clients, what I have learned from that. And the first job I had was in Chapel Street. It's called West End Hair. They are the leading hair extension specialist. They do celebrity clients like Kate Langbrook, you know, Big Brother winners. They're celebrities, international celebrities, models as well. And she gave me a chance to do hairdressing. I was 25. Like, you know, and I did apprenticeship job, and that was $5 an hour. And I was traveling from Geelong. So I would wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work at 9 o'clock, and then come back in Geelong at 12 a.m. And as a transgender, it's quite difficult because people will give you the stare, especially on the train. But now, you know, people are more open-minded. Mm. Thank you for social media, the radio, the TV, and people are more educated about the transgender. And it's much easier. Actually, in work, I've just recently and confidently speak about transgender. Mm. Because before, I never used to talk about it because sometimes it can affect your work.
Yeah, this was 5 years ago.
Yeah,
people weren't open-minded.
Yeah, they didn't know about transgender. It's like, what's that?
Now they're open to it. How about in your workplace at the moment? Are you accepted?
Yes, yes, yeah. I'm one of the director of the hairdressing salon. It's called Salon Chic. So what we do is we specialize in hair extensions and hair loss solutions for women who suffers from hair loss, like alopecia, trichotillomania, and women who are going through chemo, post-chemo and pre-chemo, because they lose their identity. There's a lot of people who actually suffers from trauma, and just because of hair.
Yeah.
And people just, you know, throw banters and jokes about it, but it actually affects someone's confidence and identity. You know, it's like a cherry on top of the ice cream. Yeah. And image is very important. You know, it's your
self-esteem.
You become a warrior.
Oh yeah.
You know, in society, when you're fully dressed up and you're fully, when your hair is and makeup is all on point, on fleek,
you're more confident.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a boost of self-esteem.
Because society is not, it's a jungle. Let's accept that. That's the truth.
Mm.
Especially Filipinos. Oh my God, tumabaka, you know, or you look like this. They're so very upfront, and they don't realize it actually affects people's confidence. Mm. You don't just speak it like that because you don't know what they're going through. Because I met a lot of women, hundreds and hundreds of women who are, oh, I wish they didn't tell me that, and that kills my confidence, you know. That's why I'm like, tell my friends, let's be sensitive.
Yep.
Let's take responsibility of our words, because the words are very important. My words are important in my hairdressing career. That's how I've learned. Like, oh my God, it took me 5 years to know that my words, my thoughts are very important when it comes to getting into where I want to be in life.
So can you say, Lexi, that you are where you want to be in life?
Not yet, but I will be. Slowly but surely.
Recently, same-sex marriage in Australia has been legalized.
Yeah, thank God.
Do you have plans to marry?
Yeah, I've already started my wedding plans, but I'm just starting to look for the groom.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was real.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
What's your viewpoint on that?
Look, equality is it's within. For me, I've realized that discrimination is always going to be there. But it's up to you if you want to be discriminated. So sometimes you have to conform to reform.
Elaborate, please.
You have to infiltrate people. Like, you know, you cannot just go in and say, I'm transgender, respect me. You can't do that. That's what I've learned in my 5 years in my career, because I cannot go. I used to say, I'm Lexi, I'm transgender, and this and that. People distance themselves from you, because you're already telling them that you're different. People want something that is in common. You know what I mean? So then once you introduce yourself to each other and you have common ground, then you can talk about your differences. So that's why it took a while maybe for the marriage equality, but now I guess we're here for Australia. And sometimes it's about, I mean, don't want to say it's commercialism. Everyone has different views. As long as we respect that, that's fine. Yeah.
Can you say that this is a doorway to acceptance?
Acceptance is within, even if there's no equality. But legally, you know, in society, I guess it's a doorway of acceptance. People are more accepting of gay family. And, you know, I'm glad. I'm very glad. My heart is very happy for that.
There are people out there in our community who wants to be accepted as well. What do you want to tell them?
Just live your life every day. Lay your bricks one by one, and eventually you'll have a wall. You know, if you think that what you're going to do is going to make you happy without hurting other people, then you're fine. So, you know, put that stiletto, if you're a 6 foot tall man or whatever, put the lipstick on, whatever makes you happy.
Express yourself.
Self-expression is so important. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Do you have an upcoming event, correct?
Yes, yes.
Tell us about this, Lexi.
Cheetah will be producing a show for me. So Cheetah has been a great producer and helping me out there. So this will be in Geelong. We don't know the date yet. And also I'll be performing at the Miss Gay and Miss Transsexual 2018 pageant.
That's going to be this January?
This January 27th. It's a bigger venue. It's on the St. Kilda Town Hall. St. Kilda was the gay capital of Melbourne before. That's where it all started.
Oh.
That's why it's in St. Kilda. And I'm proud to say that I'll be performing there. The theme for this year is about live your dreams. We don't want I mean, we do this just to show everyone, men, women, gay, whatever you want to call yourself, that you can live your dreams. You know, your life should be your dream.
So this is going to be on the 27th of January.
Yes.
And we're expecting, do you have an idea of who will be the candidates?
The candidates are all over the world. There are candidates from the Philippines. I have a friend called Michelle Binyas, Michelle Monte Carlo, Serena Rivera. Those are the girls that I know, because Filipinos, you know, we're like rice, we stick together. Mm. So our trans community is very strong. Mm. Also, some girls from India, which is amazing, because the past winner was from India. From Thailand, Australian, actually. Her name's Amila Ajiani. She's gorgeous. So there's a lot from different...
From the whole world.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Across the globe.
So it all started from a small karaoke bar in Footscray. And Geisha has been amazing. My friend Sophia, you know, we all help from each other. And now it's getting bigger. As transgenders, there's a man and a woman in us. Mm. I mean, we talked about this. Like, oh, look, we don't compete with women. Because we are not women. We are transgendered women. We are trans. We are a man and a woman. It's like a unicorn. So we enjoy things that will make everything better. Well, we also like to have fun and play around and be silly. Yeah, we're just like you, and you know, I think I guess we're just like everyone else.
And you also, your upcoming concert, do you have any ideas about, you know, like the concept, who's going to be a part of the concert, what will people see?
I guess it's going to be about trans life and just bring it out there.
The message.
Yeah, the message, and just to have fun.
Thank you very much, Lexi. Love
your
time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Claire.
Thank you for sending the message to our listeners and, of course, enlightening us with the life of being a transgender.